I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Ad Hominem Attack Show. This is Chris Paul here with Tabitha Jones.
Well, hello.
Kyle.
Hey, what's up?
Jeremy Shear.
I like how Kyle doesn't have a last name.
As I was saying, you're all of your names, I was debating on first and last names. I don't know what I do every other episode.
If I ever try to apply to get a job, I'm going to scrub my name off of this podcast.
So okay. Yeah.
It's okay
Kyle,
with me.
Kyle Kizey, that's good enough, right?
Kizey, I don't know where Kizey came from. That's a nice pet name, though.
We're here, the root of Kizey is Tabsy.
He calls me Tabsy.
For years now. I don't even remember how it started.
Me neither. I don't want to think about
and
it.
And I called Jeremy, hey, the bird from Aladdin guy.
Thanks for having me back, Chris. Always a pleasure to fly in.
It's always nice to have you, bird from Aladdin. We're one here this week with another of the Final Four, Phil Eckenrode.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Bird from Aladdin.
Was it hard for you when you had to gather people with special abilities in that show Heroes?
Listen, I have a much better haircut than that guy did. I'm not quite yet at salt and pepper flat top, but
it is a little
the
more
glasses
round.
Are, yeah. That's, I am dorky suburban dad with a lot of secrets to hide, so...
The internet.
Give me the little Asian and the cheerleader, and yeah, we'll save the world.
The internet referred to the man as HRG, horn-rimmed glasses. It was very creative.
I embrace it.
It's this superhero name.
I embrace it.
I've never seen it, so I have no idea what's going on, but that's cool.
Save the cheerleader, save the world.
I just don't want to yell at Chris again about his nerd shit around me.
First season Tabsy is so cool. Oh, cool Tabsy, that's what they call her around the water cooler.
Yeah, totally.
Sorry, that show was on NBC. I know you're not going to watch it.
It's Christmas today, guys. Like,
really,
isn't this Christmas?
Merry
Heroes.
Christmas, everybody.
Yeah, I think this is coming out
I'm
on Christmas.
Tired of old cool Tabsy over here.
Fuck off,
get
Chris.
On me about my nerd shirt shit.
Yeah, when, your nerd shirt too. It's all you fucking wear.
The entire script from every episode of Gilmore Girls.
Honestly, though.
Fag.
Yeah. Super.
You should, Logan Rashal loves Gilmore Girls, too.
When Logan and I first met, the first time we ever hung out,
he was like, I just want to be in the friend zone.
100%. No, he was like, we should do a Gilmore Girls podcast together. And I was like, yeah, totally. And that never happened.
So, Phil, what's your embarrassing fandom?
Oh, boy, embarrassing fandom. So big Cumtown fan, long time, first time. What is embarrassing? Well, how about not now, but when I was in high school, I'll tell you this. When I was in high school, I was in a Christian rock band.
Oof.
Is that good enough?
You were in the band?
I was in a Christian rock band.
What did you play?
Played the bass.
Okay.
Did you write any songs?
Wrote a lot of songs.
Oh,
you
shit.
Wrote a lot of songs. Honest to God, couldn't tell you one lyric, one name
of
a song.
You wrote Jesus Walks,
honest
and then
to God,
like
he
the
means
Kanye
it.
West.
I wrote
Will
Jesus
you
Walks.
Find the notebook and come in every week and just read us one.
The sad college rule notebook that I wrote all my...
Yes.
No.
About how you love Jesus inside you.
And what was a... I was a big Christian rock fan at the time, too. DC Talk, Jars of Clay.
Oof.
Who else?
Do you guys hate Phil even more now?
Yeah.
I got out eventually.
That one song got big radio play in the 90s.
What, POD or whatever?
I
did it all for the rookie.
Jars of Clay had a song called Flood.
Yes,
that was a good crossover.
My favorite Christian rock song, I did it all for the nookie, Kyle.
Lord. The Nookie is the Lord.
POD was probably the biggest Christian rock crossover success.
It's what Jesus said when he was hanging there and he was looking at the other guy. He was like, "Forgive him, Lord, for he did it all for the Nookie."
The cookie was the Eucharist.
It got lost in the translation from Aramaic.
Frankincense and Durst.
When I was an altar boy, he used to make me shove the Eucharist up my ass, up my ass, up my ass. At least I thought it was a Eucharist.
Yeah.
I was too fat to get molested.
God. It tasted like
that. You know what the Romans were listening to when they came in? Break stuff. I'm going to break some fucking shit tonight.
Good start.
Good start.
Yeah, so what am I taking the lead on this now?
No, I was literally about
everybody
to go.
Stopped and looked at me because I mean,
your face looked as though you were going to say something, and I thought you had more.
I was literally shoving the mic
lyrics
into Shears.
What?
No, I'm done. I'm done.
I was trying to think of more Limp Bizkit lyrics to shove into the
hot
Bible.
Hot dog flavored water.
That was the name of the album, right?
That was that's actually the blood of Christ.
That's our flavored water. What's the chocolate starfish? Still just a butthole?
Still just a butthole.
Okay, I thought butthole. So.
Jesus butthole this time. So
hot dog flavored water proves that Jesus was white. Because as you know, all white people smell like hot dog water. So it comes from the blood of Christ, who was a white man.
I have heard that about white people.
So those pictures of my grandma's house are correct.
100%.
Yes, he looks like the guy from Nickelback.
Did you ever hear their Mission Impossible theme cover song? It was on like the Mission Impossible 2 or whichever one of those movies came out in like the late 90s.
POD or Limp Bizkit.
Limp Bizkit. Very, very good. Highly recommend.
I mean,
I'm
not here to shit on Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
Why not?
Wes Borland was cool as shit.
Yeah, Wes Borland was sweet.
Yeah.
So then they replaced him with Buckethead, right? Eventually Buckethead
was
in
the
movie. Yeah. He wore a KFC bucket on his head, I believe, was his
situation.
Yes.
Which is cool.
Which is real creative. Good for you.
It's not enough to learn to play the guitar really well. You got to have a theme.
Yeah, right.
Like a bucket on your head.
You got to have a mask.
Wes
Borland
had the mask with like the red eyes that shot out.
So like you were in this Christian rock band in Limp Bizkit and you were just like...
What, I was in both Christian rock band and Limp Bizkit. I am Buckethead. Yes.
So you were just were like hiding it from your friends.
Yep. It was a dual world. No, like, at the time. No,
I wrote
the
song, guys. Give me something to praise.
you were out.
About you fucking raise.
After 3 months
so
days.
Yeah. Yes, we were printing money. Is what we were.
Where did you guys gig at?
We played a lot of churches, a lot of camps, like church camps, summer church camps.
All right, yeah.
Did you ever get laid off of it?
No.
You were really playing the part.
No. This was at a time when that was
strictly anal for those girls.
Yes, we kept it as the Lord would have wanted it.
Technical
which is everywhere
virgin
but the vagina. It was a fun time. It is funny to think back about it and shit on it, but at the time it was fun. Now it's just a giant.
Do you still talk to those dudes? What are they doing? Heroin?
I don't actually. Yes. Yeah, they're
more
both in prison, and I'm moderately successful. No,
oh, it was a three-piece.
It was a three-piece band. It was a three-piece.
Yeah.
Our drummer was the singer. So very Phil Collins of us.
That's badass.
And I played the bass. I was the worst of the three musicians by far. And we had a really good guitar player. The drummer was very good. He was also a very good singer. And those guys both went off to they actually both went to Christian colleges and stayed kind of in the scene, if you will. And I left the scene. Now, they would tell you that they kicked me out of the band. I would tell you that I quit. but really, who cares?
Were you doing all the holding of the hands?
I was. They were. Yeah,
they were just one day. Phil, like,
we gotta get rid of him. He gets to hold Shirley's hand all the time.
Wait, did you talk to Shirley before that?
Yeah, right.
Bitch.
They just came to you one day, like, Phil, you're not praising hard enough.
Well, it was. We were graduating high school, and they were going to two Christian colleges, and I was going to Kent State, and we were on very different paths of life.
Like, I hope you get shot down there too.
Yeah.
You fucking protesting.
And I'm guessing I had more fun in those next 4 years than they did, but you know, to each his own.
I mean, I've driven through Indiana, and one of the college stations there played nothing but Christian music, and it was very strange. Like, remixing Eminem about Jesus.
Yeah.
At 1 o'clock in the morning.
There's nothing I
want to
hear more right now.
Same.
There's a lot of bad. I mean, even if you take away the lyrics or the message or whatever, there is a lot of bad music in that genre. There is some decent music. There's a band called Project 86 that I would recommend. It's kind of a hardcore band that's pretty good. But
I probably will never listen to them.
If
you guys pause right now, I'm sure they're dubbing it over. You hear that? Yeah, see how that's pretty good? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if we're going to play Christian hardcore, like, we're just going to put on
Sayo. I love God. Fuck Christ, I love God.
Okay, so we had it actually live in studio. We had the track. We didn't need to dub it over.
You know God. I fuck with God. I fuck with God. Man,
you know,
those guys were great.
You know, I've never been God. So happy.
He also said something about blowing God, I think. That's cool, all right?
That's cool. He fucks with him. And,
fucks
yeah.
with him, blows him, you know.
Yeah, I'm really glad my grandma's dead at this point. So
how great would a really...
Yeah.
How great would a really serious take on a punk video of just like, I blow God? I suck God's dick!
I don't think that would be classified as Christian rock, but...
You don't think so?
No.
You don't think it would have been...
I mean, it could be. Like, I blow God, and that's where I saw my first circumcised penis.
There we go.
I don't know, Jeremy. Try singing it.
The spoken word.
Sing it like the bird from Aladdin. Or Nick Yearing.
I blow God, and that's where I saw my first circumcised penis.
Yeah, I didn't hear. It took me a second to catch on that it was Nick Yearing. I didn't hear him request Nick Yearing, and I was like, damn, the bird from Aladdin's fucked up.
I flew through West Virginia, and things happened.
Boy, are my arms tired.
So, were you in the Christian hardcore scene when you got out of high school? Was that part of your deal?
No, when I got out of high school, I was pretty much out of it completely. I was in another band in college that was more of a secular slant, if you will. But I was such a bad musician that I should not have been in any band, in any genre.
Where'd you play in Kent?
We played at, it was called The Avenue at the time. Not sure what it's called now. Avenue. Played in Akron, a couple places like Lime Spider. We literally played like maybe 8 shows mm-hmm. total, and then it disbanded, and that was the end of it. But
I liked the Lime Spider because it was, you know, downtown Akron is supposed to be a classy place to go,
is
but
it?
You could get robbed like as soon as you stepped out of the Lime Spider,
yeah.
Like 90% of the time.
8 shows is way further than I got. We just would start. We would come up with a band name,
mm-hmm.
and
most important part.
We got
of
as far as equipment and playing some instruments, but then it was just all doing meth until our fingers turned green from playing instruments. And only playing benefit shows for friends who died from doing too much meth.
The circle of life. Yeah. Yes. No, it was fun. It was fun. Made some great friends that way. Had some good shows. But by the time I was a sophomore at Kent, the musician life was over.
Yeah, it was time to hit the books, as it were.
It was time to hit the books and get ready
for
law school.
Do you mind? Okay, you said law school.
Yeah.
Were you... Were you still a Christian when you decided to go to law school? Or is that just antithesis of...
I actually have always wanted to be a lawyer since I was maybe 8 or 9 years old. That was what I always wanted to do. But after I left the church, quote unquote, after high school, I still stayed on the path and wanted to be a lawyer. And
how do you get into wanting to be a lawyer that young? Did you, like, close to a grandmother that watched Matlock?
No, I mean, you're not far off. So when I was nine, in 92, and that's when A Few Good Men came out. And I saw A Few Good Men, and that was like my favorite movie, and still my favorite movie of all time.
You were around the house like, you can't handle the truth.
Basically, and it was so exciting. I was like, I want to be a lawyer. And then I was in high school, and I did drama, I did debate club, I did mock trial, college. I did all those very cool things that definitely got you laid a lot. And kept on it. That's what I
so you got kicked out of the band because they were like, can you practice tonight? And you were like, no, man, I got to get ready for a mock trial.
Debate will get you laid. Do you see? You've been to debate meetings. You see how fast everybody talks.
Hot Jeremy knows all about getting laid.
I suppose
laid.
Hot Jeremy was a debate club.
Hot Jeremy knows all about what gets you laid and what doesn't get you laid.
Add this because that voice you're doing right now. Call Hot Jeremy. Join in on our party line. It Hot Jeremy
1-900 Jew Dick.
Join our party line now. 1-800 Hot Jew Dick. HotJeremy.com.
It's 1-900. You got to pay for it.
All kinds of fresh cut Hot Jeremy dicks.
Plural.
There's more. Yes. It's
a whole party.
Does that mean that there's multiple Jeremys?
Yes.
Or that Jeremy has multiple
Jeremys? It's just
at this point, it's what you call a middle-aged fat man who was never hot but claimed that he was at one point in his life. Yeah. It's called a hot Jeremy.
Not just hot. I will reiterate again. Hot like Ryan DiPerna.
I was more ethnic in my 20s.
I think to really make this a thing, though, we got to drop the Ryan DiPerna part. No one knows who that is.
No, that's what solidifies it for me. I'd be like, okay, Jeremy claims he was hot. Hot like Ryan DiPerna? Fuck off. Come on.
I had thinner features.
This is true.
So it was more accurate.
I can see it. I can see it underneath.
I just feel like it's hard for me.
And you have to talk about more than what features your dick had. Yeah,
my dick not nearly as hot as Ryan DiPerna's dick. I'll just put that out there. But I feel less hot knowing that Phil's younger than me. the attorney is younger than me. It's blowing my mind at this point.
How old are you, Jeremy?
I'm 39.
Okay, how old are you, Phil?
36.
Oh, I mean, that's not... It's 3 fucking years.
How hard and how expensive would it be for me to get power of attorney over Shear? And then do nothing with that responsibility.
Do you have photographic evidence of a drug problem that we could use?
Yes.
Then the answer
doesn't.
The answer to your two questions are not very and $500.
Well, I guess
he's
out.
Need like 5 or 8 of his Facebook profile pictures will convince any jury of a drug problem.
This isn't like getting a guardianship. He wants full ruling me incompetent,
right. Britney Spears level.
He wants good old fashioned Brian Wilson, Dr. Eugene Landy power of attorney.
Have you seen Rain Man? It's like that.
This is what we're dealing with.
It's like that.
Can
but
he
that
count
movie.
Cards? Is he of any value though? I mean,
well, it's like Rain Man, but with the that movie Freaks. With the circus performers. It's somewhere between Rain Man and Jeremy going, one of us, one of us.
Anything
to
add, Jeremy?
You're good sport, Jeremy.
I
defend yourself?
I Man, thinking about giving up power of attorney is something that's come up lately, so it's like, fuck.
We have pressed a button. Paw. Okay.
Yeah. Don't give it to Chris.
Stop
yeah.
it. Yeah.
No, Chris can't have it.
The only way you could do any worse is if you gave it to Sam LaTourette.
Yeah. Hey, Sam, please sign my medical documents for me and make decisions for
don't
my care.
Don't mind if I do.
Yeah. Hey, so Jeremy's not allowed to have any of this money he's getting from the government. It's
coming to me.
It's all going to be spent wisely.
Raising
take
good
care
it,
of
Sam.
For you, Jeremy.
Do you remember former state representative Steve LaTourette, Republican?
I do.
Oh, well. His son, two-time ad hominem attack show champion. It would have been a
no
treat. Yeah, with you battling a few.
Let's be real sensitive.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to shit about Sam.
Never.
But it would just, it would have been good.
No
been
matter
good.
How sad
you're fairly liberal
me.
Dude now, right? You went from Christian rock to...
pretty, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, you're pretty liberal.
Pretty
that's
progressive
a change.
Liberal guy.
From Christian rock to... all about the cock. Maybe well, not that cock.
That is, that part stayed kind of the same.
So you hate gays is what you're saying?
Kind of the same.
You said it.
Yeah. I was a, I came up in a time when I was an Al Gore Democrat. I didn't go full bore, but yeah, no.
Yeah, fair. So I went and peed and got another beer. So you went to Kent State, and then did we cover this? He went to Kent State and then just started smashing puss. Is that what happened?
Yeah, basically.
That's exactly what he said.
That's not. We didn't say that. No, we
so
didn't.
No, well, we didn't. You're married. You met your wife, and that was it?
Mrs. Eckenrode, we didn't say that. If you're still listening, if you haven't shut it off by now.
No, yeah, Kyle walked away, and Phil was
I
like,
did meet my wife in college. I didn't meet
ever.
Her. She was the very first woman that I met in college and the only woman with whom I have shared a bed.
Oh,
so
nice. Good
is,
for you.
Yeah, that's great for her.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to start naming sorority girls because we're the same age and my wife is in a sorority. Yeah. Did you bang
mine
this
too.
Chick, dude?
Mine too. Wait, from Kent?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
She was...
what sorority?
I don't know, one of them. They're all obnoxious.
We should maybe go offline.
No. Probably not.
Wait, were you there too, or just
dude? Oh, so you remember you were there?
I was there 2001 to 2005.
All right, you remember that dude that got ran over by the tow truck on Halloween?
That sounds vaguely familiar.
Oh, that was my dude that punched the guy, and he fell in front of the tow truck and got his legs ran over.
That's the funniest story.
Was that some like
that was a real thing? Like,
was that like a karma justice kind of thing?
Well,
like,
the guy was in a frat house and he was starting shit with everybody. My buddy. Nick, he doesn't give a shit if I say his name. My buddy Nick.
We'll
was
call
in there.
Him Nick, since yeah. that's his name.
And he's a big fucking guy, and they were like, hey, Nick, get this guy out of here. He's starting problems. And they went out to the front lawn, and Nick punched him, and the guy stumbled into the street. And when he fell, a tow truck came by in the street and ran over his legs and paralyzed him.
Jesus
so
Christ.
Nick went to jail because of it. Yeah, dude, this is a nuts story.
God damn.
So then Nick goes and does his time. He gets really good at basketball, loses a bunch of weight. Like, he's got super street cred. He was already from the east side anyways.
And his name is now Carmelo Anthony.
No, and then like he got called in to his probation officer after like he was off and he was out, and he was like, "Hey man, I got some news for you. The guy that you know you paralyzed, he died." And Nick was like, "My fucking heart sunk because he's a fat fuck." So he was like, "You know, he's like, oh my god, like if he killed him, he'd go to jail for manslaughter." And he was like, "Well, how did he die? If it was complications from the legs, he would have got manslaughter." And they're like, "Oh no, he died of a coke overdose." And he got off, and he didn't have to pay any more.
Yeah,
dude, wild story.
Cheers to Nick.
Cheers to Nick. Nick's crushing it now. He owns his own business. He's great. He's a good dude. But
maybe we should pump the brakes on crushing it.
Maybe that tow truck driver should have pumped the brakes on crushing it.
Oh man. Yeah, where's the tow truck driver at all this? He didn't ask
he's
for
fine.
Any of it
yeah,
either.
He's fine. He's still just
like, put a hood up, walk
trucks.
Away.
Yeah.
You know,
he's out there on a sunglasses. Podcast somewhere like, so this fucking idiot punched someone and landed in front of my truck.
I don't think that guy driving a tow truck knows what a podcast
no,
is.
No, he's in the final four of a roast battle somewhere else.
It's Adam Janovac.
Well, that gives me something to work with.
Full circle.
Well, the crime number one you can accuse Adam Janovac of.
Yeah.
Crushing somebody's legs.
He don't up to
it. Do you find that your process for arguing in court and writing roast jokes is the same? Or
even stand-up in general?
It's a good question. I think that being a trial lawyer for 10 years, you know, you have to think on your feet a lot. There's a lot that you have to generally be prepared for, but be prepared to, you know, for things to go sideways. So I think that helps with a heckler at times or something. But for the most part, I think that the preparation of the kind of the performance aspect of doing an opening statement or a closing argument, I think that helps more for any type of stand-up, but especially this format in a roast battle where it's very prepared, written out, rehearsed, every single word, for me at least, I obsess over. I think that does translate well for me.
I mean, it is the same kind of, you're trying to turn the room against the other person in both situations.
Yeah, that's right. And I've always been a huge fan of, you know, I was always a huge Weekend Update fan as a kid and a big Letterman fan. I was always a big kind of monologue, fake news caster type comedian fan. So this format I've really loved because it's very formulaic, and there's a clear setup and a boom punchline, and there's no like, well, I'm going to get away with making a funny face or doing a funny physical thing, and that's going to make you laugh, even though the joke sucks. It's the joke's got to be good.
With the exception
of... Are you calling me a hack?
Oh, my God, you're still here. I thought you went to get another beer. Oh, I was talking about all the other people that don't know how to write jokes.
I was
going to
say, with the exception of dressing up as a dinosaur, there's no real...
Oh, man.
I don't know who... who's done that, but I do love the format of the roast battle. It's been really fun.
I know, like, when I first asked you to do this, you were kind of like apprehensive because you're like, I'm not really a mean person.
Yeah.
Obviously you were in a Christian rock band, so and I was just kind of like, I talked to you about it, and I was like, dude, just be a heel. Like, people don't want to like you because you're a lawyer, and I think it's like, you really hammed it up the last time around. Like, you were just like really just like arrogant and just like a prick. And I don't know if that was on purpose or not.
Also,
but, like,
very white.
No. You're both absolutely correct. It's just at this point, it's like, just embrace it. And I hate, the one thing about the format that I hate is being mean. I'm generally a fairly nice guy, I think. I don't like being people, especially to somebody like Kristen, who I've never met before. I'm meeting for the first time, and now I'm about to say, you know, horrible things about them. I hate everything about that, but I think of it more as like, hey, this competition is not so much who can cut down the other person the most. It's who can write the best five jokes. And, you know, the other person has to stand there and take it, but, you know, I'm not affected by what they say about me. I hope they're not affected by what they say about them. I think I want to win because I wrote the best jokes and you didn't.
You get it. Oh, my God.
Thank God.
You understand how it works. I hate when we ask people to do these things. And they're like, I don't like being mean. And it's like, you don't have to like being mean. You have to like fucking trying to write a goddamn joke.
I almost feel like those are people that legitimately just think really shitty things about other people that they're peers, and they don't want to say them out loud.
Yeah, I would. I never would think any of the things that you say in a roast joke, and don't actually believe any of them. But
obviously, you think them because you wrote them down and said them in public.
Well, you know, yeah, it's about, hey, is this a good joke or not?
Yeah, it's just you're using the other person's, you know, life as the premise, basically. And yeah, that's
I have never.
Sometimes
meant...
it's just factual, like. Jeremy does look like a weird producer in a Where Are They Now VH1 documentary about a band from the 80s.
I have never meant a single roast joke I've written except for the ones about all the people at this table. Those were all very true.
It's funny because people have asked me, you know, talking to people at work or friends, like, oh, is it hard when you're doing it and you hear what they say about you? And my honest answer is, whatever they say about me, I literally, A, barely hear it at all because I'm thinking about what my next joke is. So I don't really care what you say about me. And B, there's nothing you can say about me that I haven't already thought about myself. Like, trust me, you can't find a darker place than I've been. So I hope you say something funny because I hope this is a really good battle.
Yeah.
And if you win or I win, I don't really care. But
I think that's the underlying...
I'm not gonna walk off stage like sad, like, oh my God, you said I'm kind of a fat guy. Like, oh, fuck. Like, I've thought about that.
I think that's the underlying thing in general with comics and why it's so always so comfortable shitting on each other. Is because you all know that too.
Right.
Is that I'm not going to say anything.
These are all things we thought.
Yeah. Jeremy's tried harder to kill him than I have.
Yeah. Accurate.
Very true. No, yeah, I love hearing other people's jokes about me because it's either going to be like, wow, that sucked and I get to be really mean to you now, or it's going to genuinely make me laugh because they tried to write a joke that wasn't just like, you are fat.
Yeah.
It's like you're gonna be more clever.
Exactly.
It's the you're not gonna say anything worse than I've thought about myself, and then there's the like, oh, you thought about me?
You really thought about me?
Oh, no, it's good me like getting attention.
When you get 100%. It, like, when me and Tabitha did that battle, like, it was like, it was so good, like, because she was just bringing it and I was bringing it. And it was like, every time she punched me, then I punched her a little harder and then she punched me harder. And it was just like, the room was roaring. Yeah. And that's what it's about. Like, that's why this show's so contagious for, like, if you enjoy doing it, is because, like, if you get somebody good to work with, like, it doesn't matter how mean they are, like, you're getting just huge pops that, you know, you're not going to get anywhere else. Like, even if you go into a room and crush just doing your set, if you come in and you have somebody good to work with on this show, like, you're going to have the crowd in fucking stitches.
It's an entirely different kind of laugh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Than doing stand-up.
And you're just taking it, and it's just like a great boxing match or like a wrestling match where I'm punching you, and then you just punch me back, and then I punch you, and it's just like...
And
that's so funny, because the audience... I think the audience thinks more about, like, man, she really got him, and he really got her... And that's fine. If that's how they want to be entertained, that's cool. That's the whole point. But on stage, you guys are like, oh, that was pretty good. That was pretty good, Kyle. Or that was pretty good, Tabitha. Or that wasn't so good. Like, they think of it more as, like, you punching across. And as somebody who does it, I think more of, like, no, I just wrote a better joke than you did.
Yeah, the crowd's also watching for your absorption of the blows as much.
Yeah.
But there, it's,
there's nothing I love better than, like, a truly just, like, mean crowd for a show.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if the crowd's not as equally, like, out for blood, like, it's not as fun.
And the places you can go, I mean, not only the ones I've done, but the other battles that I've seen from being on the shows here, like, the places you can go that you can't go in any traditional comedy show, right? You know, do a set at, even if it's somewhere like Hilarities or some any other room, and you touch an issue that's a little darker or a subject that's a little darker, and you get a lot of like ooh or ah, like, here, that's where you're going to get
it has
like a standing ovation.
We've had those crowds, too, for every once in a while. Within the first couple of minutes of the show, if that's how they are, I'm annoyed the entire night.
Yeah, it sucks.
The whole, even if it's packed, I'm like, I wish the fuck these people would leave.
Right. I remember one of the shows that, like, it was one of the first ones I was hosting right before we went on hiatus. And, like, we had the worst fucking crowd, where, like, I had to be meaner to the crowd than anyone that was actually in the show, of just, like, berating them. And it was fun, but it was exhausting to just be like, fuck all of you guys, why are you even here?
Yeah, right. You knew what you were coming to, I think.
I
should've known.
It's more fun, like, with this crowd especially, because I think the vast majority of the people that have been showing up get it. Mm-hmm. But I've done a lot of roasts where people don't really get the point of a roast.
Do you mean like roasts, like a traditional roast?
Like a traditional roast, where it's just Like, either it's a bunch of people on the roast that don't know how to write roast jokes, so it's just like, you know, they're doing sets and then saying something nice about the other person, which is not a roast.
No.
Or like the guy at the end of the night is like so dejected because he got destroyed, and it's always a guy, and they don't know how to handle it, and they're like, why did I ask for this? It's like,
no one made you come here.
Yeah. It's like, you set this up, which is not what you're supposed to do. Right. Anyway.
Yeah.
But it's like, I always jumped at the opportunity to be on roasts because I love writing the jokes.
Did you just describe Michael Scott's roast on The Office?
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I've seen that play out.
Yeah.
Where, like, but it, instead of him, like, running off during the roast, he's, like, hiding in the green room after the show, like, not sobbing, but, like, really, really down. And it's
oh, I love
I'll
it.
Tell you who it is off mic, and you won't know who it is.
Me so happy. The schadenfreude of someone planning it and then getting their own feelings hurt. Yeah. Is it
beautiful.
Gives me great pleasure.
Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, once you get your feelings hurt, like, you're dead. Like, you're yeah. dead. Like, if you go up there and you get your feelings hurt, you're dead.
Right.
I've had it happen. Like, I'm like, oh, shit. Like,
yep.
They're sad now. I'm like, I smell blood. Right. Yeah, smell blood. You smell blood, right?
Yeah.
You taste blood?
Sure, yeah.
A little bit of both, depending where it's at.
Yeah.
Depending on what hole it's coming out of.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I think you were the biggest question mark coming into this tournament, because, like, you started out and, like, I saw you at Hilarities at the fucking Cleveland Comedy Open, and you did that stage behind the bar, and, like, I'm watching this, and one thing that I use to judge, like, if somebody's funny anymore is not me, because I've seen so much comedy, but if my wife's with me and she's like, that guy's fucking funny. I'm like, okay, because she sat through so many shitty mics. And we saw you, and then I was like, oh, shit, you won that Cleveland Comedy Open. And everybody's like, who the fuck is this guy?
Legitimately.
You know, and it's like...
No, I remember you, like, we were in, like, a group chat talking about just, like, the Cleveland Comedy Open. And, like, the just, like, it came up that you had been there. And we were like, oh, who won? And you're like, Phil Eckenrode. And we're like, who the fuck is that? And yeah, and Kyle was like, no, like, this guy is really great. And, like, I still haven't seen you do any stand-up. So, like, coming into this, I was like, let's fucking see.
And
like,
honestly,
he
I'm
wants
not
going to
watch
do
that.
It.
Why would you? I mean, yeah, this is fine. This is enough. Yeah, why would you? Don't go
yeah,
out of
you,
your
like,
way.
Yeah, you, like, nosedived in. Right? I don't know, like... Do you are you feeling acclimated with the scene? I mean, the scene, like, don't feel like you need to get acclimated with it, please.
Are they,
like,
being
don't.
Nice to you?
No, but, like, you're just gonna, like, no, you came in and people. You're like, okay, boom, and then now you're hosting at Hilarities. Like, people have been doing fucking LVT for 20 years, and
has anyone told you haven't earned it?
haven't.
You know what I'm saying, though, right?
Like, I
do.
Learned.
No, I do. I do. So I started the first time I ever did stand up was 10 years ago in Columbus when I lived there. It was before my kids were born, and Funny Bone down in Columbus at Easton in the mall had, like, a local amateur competition, kind of like CCO, right? And I'd never done it before. Somehow got on my radar. I'm like, let me try stand-up. I'd been, like, the MC at the high school shit and had done some theater and stuff like that. So I'm like, ah, sure, I could be funny, sure. And I did it, made it through 3 rounds, made it to the finals the first time. And got my beak a little bit. Beat? How does that say? Beak? Wet? Thank you. A little bit. And then I started having kids, and I stopped doing it. So I took, like, 9 years off, and I moved up to Cleveland. And Jess Falstick and I were friends from long ago through something completely unrelated to comedy. And I
was
knew
she
that
in the Christian rock band?
She was not.
Oh, God.
She was not. She was one of the go-go
dancers.
Was she a
Christian rock band groupie?
Yeah, no. No,
a groupie for God.
And I knew she did stand up, and I wrote her and said, hey, I'm thinking about getting back into it. And she had me on her show that she had at Some bar in Lakewood on a Sunday night.
Oh, it was. No.
It was. So I went. So my first time doing stand up.
What was it? Yeah, Avenue Tap House.
What's it called?
Avenue Tap House. Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, with the bar, the bar was around the stage.
Above the TVs, they never turned off.
It had been 9 years since I did it, and I wrote some new jokes. And I was feeling pretty good about myself. My friend was putting on the show, so I got up there, and it was real bad. And there were like six people there, all of whom were hammered and heckling the whole time. It's shut the fuck up, like, you know.
Oh yeah,
not just like talking through your head.
Maybe I did see you then.
Hostility.
Just blocked it out.
Yeah, I've been there too. It was really horrible, and I was like, maybe this is a really stupid idea. I should just stick to the day job. But no, I stuck with it, and it's been great. I loved the scene. Met a lot of great people. Did a bunch of shows, and yeah, happy to be here.
The fact that you came from Justice Breaking News for me. So.
I'm only going to criticize your use of the word great. You've met some people.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I mean great volume-wise. I've met a great number of people.
Okay, that makes sense.
I won't speak to the quality, just the quantity of the people.
Makes more sense.
No, yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah,
thanks,
the
Jess.
Sunday regulars at that bar were not into there being comedy during their drinking time.
Nope.
Yeah, and so when I was in Columbus, you know, again, the only time I had ever done stand-up before this was at the Funny Bone. I never did an open mic. I never did any show. I only performed at the Funny Bone in Columbus. Maybe I got up on stage seven times total. So I come up here. She's like, oh, come to this bar. The show's at 9:00, and... You know, stupidly, like a noob, I'm like, oh, there will probably be a lot of people that will show up to see this, and this is really fun. So I get there at, you know, 8:30 because I'm a dork suburban dad that has to be super early to everything. And I'm looking around, and there's 9 people there, and they're all like really hammered bros watching Sunday night NFL football. And there's Jess is up there setting up the stage and the mic and everything, and I think Spider was there.
Spider on the ones and twos.
Yep.
Spider's on the ones and twos. And the thought crossed my mind, like, well, I'm wondering if these people are do they know that the comedy show is about to break out in about 10 minutes?
No.
And spoiler alert, they did not
know. They had no idea.
And they were not happy that the TVs got turned off and the pool table wasn't allowed to be used anymore. And,
yeah.
They were very, very hostile. But
I have done several shows.
The first night I was there. Mm-hmm. You were there.
Oh, my God.
I can't tell you how many people have that story about the first time they did comedy, but just never came back.
I think you were there.
He's always there the first time.
Literally, when I looked over, like it clicked something in my mind. I think you might have been there.
Yeah. No, the first time I ever did comedy, there were 3 people watching, and the only one that still does comedy is Jeremy.
Where was it at? Where was your first time?
It was at Lava Lounge in Tremont.
Okay. I thought that was your second time.
Oh, you weren't there for... The first time it was just the 2 hosts of the show.
Okay.
And
so that was your second week.
Was when you were with TM Francis.
Yeah, and TM still does comedy.
Yeah.
So you came out the first time to do... Did you perform?
The first time I did...
It was just the 2 people hosting the show.
And you
came back the next week.
And I did, because they said there would be more people. And I believed
them.
And
they've been saying it ever since.
Two more people showed up.
And all these years later, we're just waiting for two more.
Can
I just get 2 more people?
Those hosts were Matt Maroon, who only did comedy in Tremont.
It's a very specific
regional comedy.
Yeah. He would be the guy that got a few people to come to Rowley Inn.
The Rowley.
Yeah.
Oh, the old Rowley.
Yeah, and then Laura Partlow, who ended up moving to the Cincinnati area with her husband. And she doesn't do comedy anymore.
Like, they're well outside of Cincinnati. They're in the middle of nowhere.
Fair enough. It's just they.
Yeah,
that's where that was my frame of reference. But yeah, I remember that night because you told me it was your second time doing comedy, and it was just us.
Yep.
And It was not embarrassing, though, because you were not bad.
Yeah,
that's what I was waiting for.
He's like, nobody's tried to fuck her yet.
That's my favorite part of this story. No one was trying to fuck me yet.
No, I was like, it's like Tabitha knew she's got jokes, and that was like my notes.
You take notes on everybody you see.
No.
Dude,
no.
Yeah, wait a minute. What is Thank you, Kyle. I was going to let him just slide thing, like, past with him taking notes about the new talent.
I do the same thing.
No.
Taking notes about people?
Open
your phone.
Do we not remember Angels of Comedy? Yeah, he's a fucking creep.
Oh, that's true.
Jeremy used to take
that.
Pictures of everyone's ankles while they were on
That was
stage.
Not a creepy thing. That was my response to no one's allowed to wear shorts on stage. I was like, bullshit, all these people are wearing shorts on stage. And then people would get mad at me when they ended up on Ankles of
Comedy.
That's
exactly
like,
how a serial murderer would excuse yeah, that behavior.
That's a Mindhunter shit right there.
No, yeah, people would get people would come in like
where
visiting from it? LA, like wearing shorts
all
of the
I'm
gyro and get really mad at me. And I was like, fuck you, you're wearing shorts. It's fine to wear shorts, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to hear the Jeremy Shear episode of Last Podcast on the Left.
What, you just think I'm gonna like cut people's ankles off and
I think
start
you've
a collection?
Already
you've already started.
I think you're already waist deep.
Jeremy had
I think
there,
you're waist deep in ritualistic murder already.
You and Phil can be friends now.
Well, yeah. We're gonna take this
Here
offline.
Yeah, Phil, I need some legal advice. How much evidence is too much evidence?
Yeah, team up. Do a Dexter thing.
47 feet.
Yeah, that's a lot of feet. That's a lot of feet, buddy.
No feet.
I like that it's an odd number. There's yeah. like, there's
yeah,
one
lost.
Foot missing out of the patch.
He lost one.
One of them is Zach Gowans.
I don't know if that was a diabetes joke or not, but...
The betas?
No, Zach Gowen is the one-legged wrestler, dude.
Oh, okay.
That joke was just for you, stupid.
I'm not a huge wrestling nerd like you guys, but...
Chris Klum.
Who was the one? Von Erich had one foot, right?
Oh, Kerry Von Erich? Yeah, he had... it's either one foot or something wrong with that.
Tabitha, while you got your phone out, look up people with one feet and then give us 25 in about 6 minutes. Okay. So anyhow,
so you got Adam Janovac. Have you met Adam? Have you talked to him at all? Like, are you guys?
I've met Adam a couple times at shows. I don't know a lot about him.
Have you guys talk? Like, I think the best way to like do these shows is to talk to the person before. Don't come into it like completely cold. But people are so reluctant to give up their vulnerabilities before,
yeah,
but like
that,
if you
no, that
do
worked.
That, like it's the show's so much better.
That worked. Kristen and I talked before our show, and
that's how you knew she had those dogs.
I know,
dude. That dog joke was so fire.
Thank you.
Yes, Kristen has three dogs. Elton has four, and I was like, oh shit.
So
see, good.
I didn't feel
simple.
Good. I didn't feel good about that. But.
She was sick that night. Like, and Kristen is.
It was good, but I didn't feel.
Kristen was not upset, but she just. She left because she was sick, and she's Kristen, and that's what Kristen does. I love Kristen.
It makes
she's me... former. She was what, the first champ?
She won, yeah, champion.
I don't know.
You knocked off the first champ, or she was she held the belt before.
I think
she
Kristen
had it.
Was first.
She beat Sam for the belt.
Yeah,
yeah, the first time out.
And then so. Brett and I, I know Brett a little better just from a bunch of shows, and we didn't actually talk beforehand, but I was able to gather enough from Facebook and
you didn't battle. Brett, you battled. Who'd you battle?
Yeah, it was Brett
Thomas.
Brett
yeah.
Thomas.
Fuck. Okay. Oh, I was thinking of Adam. Never mind.
No, I had Brett.
Huh.
But there, yeah.
There was plenty to make fun of Brett Thomas about. So it was.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it was good. I had. I have a Word document on my computer that I think last I kind of had like 60 or something jokes that I whittled down to 5.
Hell yeah.
And
that's how you fucking write this shit.
Yeah. I love this. I love everything.
It was
60 jokes you dwindled
God
to
damn.
5.
Damn.
For every joke that ended up on my album, I had written half a joke and whittled it up to 1.
How can we stretch this out? For
he's,
like
he's not lying.
No, I know. Said very sincerely. you got to just pump them out and then whittle it down, and you know, cream rises to the top.
How long do you spend before the show writing jokes?
It usually most of what I wrote for Brett's, for example, was in one night.
Yeah,
one fucking night of about nut. 2 hours. Had a couple drinks at home, up on the laptop, and just shit it out. And there was some refining that came after that. And again, I you know, once I had it down to maybe 15, you know, you start to really obsess over each and every word. And will this joke make the top five if I change the word it to the? I mean, it's that level of, you know, obsession, OCD over it. And but most of the volume comes out at once. And then it's you spend maybe a week or two whittling it down after that. Like, I have nothing for Adam. So
far. Is this year, and I can't believe I'm asking this because I've never been interested in anyone's process before, but do you do the same thing to write stand-up jokes?
No, it's completely different. The stand-up jokes come completely randomly, usually while I'm driving. I'll think of something, or I'll hear a cue on the radio that makes me think of something, and I'll record it on my phone real quick, and that'll be it. I have never sat down at the computer and said, I'm going to write stand-up jokes today.
I'll listen to stand-up comedy on the radio, and then I'll just write down whatever those guys are saying.
You know the 7 words you can't say on television? Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah. I'll make it 8 words. Yeah,
I know, because I was kind of a fucking psycho, too, because you're fucking crazy if you're writing 60 jokes for somebody. Have you found, like, you can, like, almost recycle those jokes and, like, oh, that was for Brett. I didn't use it, but that's, like, a really great idea that I had that, like, maybe I'm going to work into a bit at that point, or, like, I can use this here or there. Like, have you found it to be stimulating for, like, any kind of, like, just regular writing at all?
Yeah, no, good question. Nothing that has gone from roast battle format to standard stand-up format, but I have, you know, there's some stuff I had written for Mickey that I didn't use that I was able to write into Brett. And again, I think that goes back to the whole, like, it's all about how good of a joke you can write. Like, I can pick some random thing out of you and say, yeah, like Jeremy said, that's the little bit of canvas that I'm going to use to write something I think is funny. It's going to be 110% embellished and weird, random. I'm just going to make it up. But so I've been able to use that, but I don't think I've had anything that I've gone from, like, this format to stand up.
See, when I wrote for Tabitha, I said, Tabitha, all of her little piggies ate roast beef, and now I say that about my wife. And good.
It's great.
I'm glad I can liven the marriage.
It sucks I threw away because, like, I don't know, a year and a half later, I watched the Comedy Central roast on TV or whatever, and Jeremiah Neighbors did that joke about Yamanika Saunders. He said something about, like, all of her little piggies ate roast beef, and I was like, fuck! Like, that was on TV now. Like, that was my joke. Like, he obviously didn't steal it from me, but, like, I felt accomplished because I was like, this guy, like, that joke crushed on TV, and, like, I wrote that, like, a year and a half ago, and it crushed, and it was a great joke, so.
It was.
I don't know. I'm still using it. Fuck him. He just recorded an album.
He came to it independently. That's
funny. Right?
Yeah. Well, that was that's a fun look into the process. So you didn't turn turncoat on us and do that other tournament, did you?
I literally don't know what they were talking about.
Good.
Was there another one? Give me the
details.
There's
another roast battle. Like they're popping up doing another roast battle where it's 8 comics and they're doing the roast battle, and I said it on the last episode. I don't really care that they're doing it. I just kind of feel snubbed that they didn't do their homework and ask anybody
who
to do it.
Who's putting that?
It's another podcast that's doing it. I don't know.
Is
doing
it Cumtown?
No, it's not Cumtown.
Oh, because I have exclusive rights with Cumtown, so I will have to bow out of this tournament.
No, if you win the fucking tournament, we're going to go to this other roast battle, and we're going to sit up front, and we're going to throw the belt on you and sit there, and we're going to just heckle the shit out of them. We're going to be like, oh, yeah, fuck you.
The belt's going to say, come town.
Come Lord. Dave Flint's the last battle of the night? No way.
Here's what I think about that situation.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
My take on that situation is that I copy and paste the description of this show, and it already says Cleveland's only roast battle, and I'm not going to change that.
You have to sneak a very subtle typo somewhere into it so that when they copy and paste it, like make a zero and O or vice versa,
right.
then so you'll then, know. Yeah, that's how you
yeah, no.
They get busted out and shit. Yeah.
Yeah. We've got the most value for our show. Definitely.
It's like, you know what? We're
longest
Brian.
Running, award winning.
They're the Dandy Warhols.
Let's not keep putting the award winning on it because, you know, what are those awards for? But, anyways.
Except if anyone's won one, then they're very important.
Yes. I met the guy that made the awards for the second year.
The glass guy?
The glass blower, yeah. He's been a regular caller at CSB for years, and it's very important to him.
And yeah, it's a fun night.
It's a fun That's night, fun, yeah. And that guy, like...
It's nice.
He did a nice thing for us, and like this is... Like, doing those glass things for him... is like one of the few ways he's able to interact with the world and like do a nice thing. So I'm like, when I found that out, I was like, oh, you made these? It was a lot cooler for me that I got one.
At the very least, it means whatever you want it to mean.
Fair. I guess I'm being a dick because I don't really
put on that. Like, I think
I did. Yeah. We won Best Comedy Festival because Accidental Folded.
you won that before Accidental Folded.
Yeah.
Well, because we actually accept comics from Cleveland.
Here.
I just got to say... They can do their other roast battle if they want, but has anyone at this table seen Dig?
What's Dig?
It's an iconic music documentary.
No.
Dylan got you to watch that, huh?
All right. Yeah. well, this will be just for me. They're the Dandy Warhols, and we're the Brian Jonestown Massacre. They may be more palatable. They're going to be at the Bottle House Brewery. Go ahead, but we're fucking punk rock.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's going to be a yuppie roast battle. They're not going to say
the
anything
Dandy
bad.
Warhols. Wow. I haven't heard that name in a while.
The Dandy Warhols and the Brian Jonestown Massacre, man.
I'll accept that.
Fuck those guys.
Good.
I mean, I'll just say fuck those guys. Captain's being more diplomatic.
For
I don't
once.
Know what any of the words she said means, but fuck those guys.
That's what they mean.
Yeah.
So more information on that as it comes.
Yeah.
Come to. I suspect we've been getting hit up by a roast battle that's touring that wants to work with us. So we're gonna look more into that for the near future. So
you know, look more into Russian bots in my inbox.
Who wants sex now?
So I got access to the ad hominem email and the weirdest shit we're subscribed to. I just want to go out there and be like, I'll get notifications and like Spider Jones tweeted and I'm like, why is this in our fucking email? We get nothing, but I don't know. I'm bringing that up. We're winding
up. I got real nervous for a second.
No.
It's been logged into my phone for years.
It's me and Adam, and then it's Logan and
Nick Glasser from Columbus, who is apparently never lost.
I'm glad there was clarification because the bracket, I was confused. I thought I was going up against Nick.
Like, Jess Smith did the bracket, and it looks great, but like I was like, oh, shit. Like, yeah, I guess this is kind of confusing. Yeah. So I sent out the message. So you know the format. Good. So you write five jokes for the first round.
Yeah.
And then there's another, the final round, or if you're in third place.
Timed round.
Yeah, it's five jokes, then a minute, and then one joke for the final round.
So the minute is like as much as I can say in a minute?
Rapid fire.
About
yeah.
this person? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Short and sweet.
Yeah.
The touring roast show called Roast War Championship, they do a weird thing where they have their rounds are all timed, but they have a chess clock. So you say a joke and then you hit the chess
clock.
Yeah, it's weird. I was looking forward to doing it, but no one was available to go to Pittsburgh with me. So we'll see what happens.
Jeremy, just
I got another. Anything embarrassing else about you? Like what?
Yeah,
masturbated in a hole or anything?
You want me just volunteer, continuously volunteer embarrassing things about me?
Well, I mean, you got to listen to the Adam Janovac episode because He was in Iraq. He's a Marine. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Really?
Yeah, and he would, during his guard, would masturbate in a dirt hole because that's where you have to whack off at when you're in the military, apparently.
That's okay. Well,
if you're not gay.
It was cool of him to tell us that story. I don't think he was in that hole alone.
No, Charlie was there.
No, didn't you hear? He was in there with Osama bin Laden. That's how he died.
A lot of room in that hole, as it turned out.
Just rattle around in there.
I never masturbated in the military one time.
I'm going to join the military just to masturbate in it.
They're not going to let you in. You're not going to make that mile time.
Exactly. They'll deny me and I'll just pull one off right in the doctor's room.
Yeah. Well, while you've got me here.
This has nothing to do with it, but you shared a 3-year memory the other day on Facebook, Chris.
Oh, from my
my
custody battle year.
So funny.
Yeah.
So funny.
The text from my ex-wife.
Oh, God, yeah.
How'd that go?
Well, the moral of the story is Chris Paw is a fat fucking pig faggot.
Oh.
Fat fucking pig faggot that won.
Hell yes.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
Go play comic books.
Yeah.
You comedy reject.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
See, my me reading
was
comic books was
those
a very
are her words?
Contentious.
All you do is read comic books and you don't take out the trash.
No,
was
those
that,
are my words.
Is that the fault of your relationship?
Yeah,
like, I'm not even looking at Facebook right now. Those are just what the first thing that came to mind.
Majority of
comedy
it. Also, she once I got a subscription to Playboy and it got burned.
You got Playboy?
Is this what you want?
Editorials?
Dude, say that as the bird.
Just yeah, go ahead.
Don't
go
burn ahead. The articles.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Is this what you want? No. No, it's just, you know, it's just a magazine.
I noticed that these bushes look curiously trimmed.
Yeah. Really? This is what we're doing?
I can't afford to get...
Shut up, cunt! You fucking cunt! Shut up!
Suddenly I don't feel so good about myself.
This is the content that I'm here for.
That was our marriage. That was my...
Really?
That's how I ended up divorced.
I'm suing you for custody.
I'm gonna carry your kids off to Agrabah, you fat fucking pig faggot!
Agrabah reference was good. That was good. That was a different level.
We'll be hiring at my job, Phil, when you lose your job for being on this podcast. No, I'm sure these lawyer guys are going to love this. They're going to be like, "Oh, this is disgusting.
This is fine.
These degenerates you're friends with? Like, oh, this is great." Well, shit, we did an hour. So,
cool.
Let's let Phil get home to his wife and kids. And
time flew by.
Do we all feel good about this?
Always.
Feel really good about
this episode.
Yeah. I thought it was good. This was a serious episode almost.
Yes. Join us after this podcast on the Talking Ad Hominem podcast, where we'll be discussing the events of this show.
So, how soon after Chris's surgery can he have sex again?
What surgery?
It was a Chris Hardwick reference. Never
mind. Oh.
I didn't get it either. Don't worry.
Because my name's Chris, too. I didn't get that he was doing a whole... That'll do, pigs.
He got me, too, didn't he?
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.